Alright, we're going to get started. Like I mentioned, tonight's study is going to be focusing on fish. And originally I was pursuing looking deeper into the beast, and I found it more to relate to fish than the word beast. But it does identify with both and the dragon and so on. We read in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 21. Behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. Now this word slain identifies with murder. And we know that the earth identifies with the corporate church. And to disclose is to uncover. So the earth is uncovering her blood, and she shall no more cover the murders. That is the focus that is in here. And this idea of coming out of his place, this phrase is used four times, and it means to depart out. It's a very interesting phrase. So behold, the Lord departeth out, or cometh out of his place, to punish the inhabitants of the church or of the earth. For their iniquity, the earth also shall uncover her blood and shall no more cover her murderers. In that day the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. So here God is identifying with the dragon being in the sea. The sea, of course, identifies with the world. And in that day, sing ye unto her a vineyard of red wine. The Lord do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. Fury is not in me. Who would set the briars and the thorns against me in battle? I would go through them. I would burn them together. Oh, let him take hold of my strength. And of course, the strength of God is Christ. Let him take hold of Christ. Let him take hold of the Word. And of course, Christ, God right here is speaking of his people. That let them take hold of Christ or his strength. And that he will keep them day and night. Let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me. He shall cause them that come of Jacob to that root. Israel shall blossom and bud, and fill the face of the world with fruit. Hath he smitten him as he smote those that smote him? Or is he slain according to the slaughter of them that are slain by him? In measure, when it shooteth forth, thou wilt debate with it. He stayeth his rough wind in the day of the east wind. By this, therefore, shall the iniquity of Jacob be purged. And, you know, we've read in the past how Christ is going to turn the ungodly out of Jacob. And Jacob is identifying with the body of Christ. And this is all the fruit to take away his sin. When he maketh all the stones of the altar as chalk stones that are beaten in sunder, the groves and images shall not stand up, yet the defenced city shall be desolate, and the habitations forsaken, and left like a wilderness. There shall the calf feed, and there shall he lie down, and consume the branches thereof. When the boughs thereof are withered, they shall be broken off. The women come and set them on fire, for it is a people of no understanding. Therefore he hath made them will not have mercy on them, and he that formed them will show them no favor. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall beat off from a channel of the river unto the stream of Egypt, And ye shall be gathered one by one, O ye children of Israel. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcast in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the mount at Jerusalem. So this picture here is focusing in, of course, at the end of the world. It's identifying with the defense city that shall be desolate, and the habitations forsaken and left like a wilderness. And he speaks of those who will take hold of his strength, and his strength is Christ, of the Word. And he speaks how he will care for them that worship the Lord in the mountain at Jerusalem. And of course, Jerusalem is the body of Christ, and the mountain is where God is. Flee into the mountains. And but he does identify with this serpent, or with this big fish. He identifies the Leviathan, I think it's pronounced Leviathan. It's the piercing serpent, the crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. So the dragon is in the sea, and the dragon, we know from Revelation, teaches us that Satan is the dragon. This dragon identifies with Satan, and here we have a picture of the dragon that is in the sea. Now we read of this idea of dragons again in Deuteronomy. We read in chapter 32, as an eagle stirreth up her nest and fluttereth over her young, spreadeth forth her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange god with him. He made him to ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increases of the fields, and he made him to suck the honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine and milk of sheep, with fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat, and thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Now Jeshurun identifies with Israel, and of course God speaks of two Israels. There is the true Israel of God, and there is the corporate Israel. It identifies with the church, both the corporate body and the spiritual body. And here the Lord says, but Israel waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. You know, the Lord has brought forth all this spiritual food that God is speaking of, the honey and sucking the honey out of the rock, which of course identifies with Christ, and the oil out of the flinty rock, that the Holy Spirit is present with them, and they eat the increase of the fields, and so on. But Israel waxes fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. When he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. So they esteemed Christ very lightly. And of course that identifies with the Word of God. They have esteemed the Word of God very lightly. They provoked him to jealousy with the strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that hath formed thee. So, of course, this is Christ. This is God speaking to the church. Christ speaking to his church. They have forgotten them. They have rejected him. They have looked at the word lightly. They have esteemed him lightly. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see that their end I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very forward generation, children in whom is no faith. They have moved me to jealousy. with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with vanities. I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. For a fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase. And the earth with her increase, again, is a picture of the church. He will consume the church with the increases that he has sent forth, all the blessings that God has given them, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. And I will heap mischief upon them. I will spend mine arrows upon them. They shall be burned with hunger, devoured and burning heat with their and with bitter destruction. I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them, with the poison of serpents of the gusts. The sword without and terror within shall destroy both the young man and the virgin, the sucklings also with the man of gray hairs. I said I would scatter them into corners. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. Were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely, and lest they should say, Our hand is high, and the Lord hath not done all this. For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. And that no doubt describes the church very clearly these days. They are a nation void of counsel. Christ is the counsel. The Word is the counsel. And they are rejecting it. They esteem him lightly. And therefore, neither is there any understanding in them. They don't know the things of God. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. And the latter end ultimately ends them up in hell. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? For their rock is not our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. So their rock is not our rock. And Christ speaks of them bringing another Jesus. Their Jesus is not our Jesus. Their vine is of the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are the grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons and cruel venom of asps. Is not this laid up to store with me and sealed up among my treasures? To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time. For the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. For the Lord shall judge his people and repent himself of his servants, when he seeth that their power is gone, and there is none shut up or left. And he shall say, Where are their gods, their rock, in whom they trusted? So, again, their rock is not our rock. And their rock, they are trusting in another rock, and that rock is not Christ. We see this picture. Their wine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asps. You know, we've looked in the book of Revelation and we saw how when Satan is loosed and God speaks of these locusts coming up out of this bottomless pit, and these locusts have these tails, and with their tails they do hurt, the Bible says. And it talks about them having the ability to hurt men for 5 months. And five focuses in on judgment. And months means a period of time. So there is judgment for a period of time. And this judgment brings them to the point of where they are seeking death, and death shall flee from them. where they are promised liberty and they don't have it. They're promised it. They're drawn to it. They've got a few pearls. They hear a word here and a word there that identifies with the Word of God, but they cannot find the door. They cannot find salvation. They cannot, and the Holy Spirit is not working there. And so therefore, they're seeking to find the door. They're wearying themselves, as the Bible says. They weary themselves to find the door. But God has blinded them from finding the door. And here we have this picture. The wine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asps, because they're looking for salvation and they cannot find it. Death has fleed from them. And that death that has fleed from them is the death that we all suffer when we become born again, when we put off the old man and put on the new, when we are buried with Christ in his baptism. And that happens at the point of being born again. And that is what identifies with the death that they are seeking. They're seeking salvation. They're seeking the door and the cruel venom of asps. And so that that poison that is coming out of the scorpions, the locusts that have tails like unto scorpions, it is a paralyzing a poison. It is a poison that paralyzes them spiritually, because they're seeking something in the wrong place. They're seeking salvation and they're not going to find it. And so they are paralyzed. They are mesmerized. They are caught up in the poison of this poisonous gospel. And the Lord finishes off and says, "Where are their gods, their rock in whom they trusted?" We read in Job, again looking at this dragon, in Job chapter 30, we read in verse 25, "Did not I weep for him that was in trouble? Was not my soul grieved for the poor?" And this is a picture of Christian identifying with the unsaved and weeping for those that are in trouble. And the soul is grieved for those who are poor, poor of spirit. They have not the Spirit of God. "When I looked for good, then came evil unto me. And when I waited for light, there came darkness. My bowels boiled and rested not. The days of affliction prevented me. I went mourning without the sun. I stood up and I cried in the congregation. I am a brother of dragons and a companion to owls. My skin is black upon me, and my bones are burned with heat. My harp also is turned to mourning, and my organ into the voice of them that weep." And this, I think, is a picture of the body of Christ in the church when the two witnesses were killed and their dead body layeth in the street, spiritually called Sodom and Egypt. And the gospel wasn't going out in the church during that time. There was silence in heaven at that point. And he speaks of his harp turning to mourning. His harp is crying out to God. Because there is no place, I am a brother to dragons. The brothers in the church, the unsaved brothers in the church, are identifying with dragons, and he speaks of being companion to owls, and owls also identify with an unclean bird, an unsaved, a picture of someone unsaved. So here, God is identifying dragons as being our brother. You know, we come to the end of the world, and he speaks about the wicked being revealed. And we discover that the wicked being revealed are the people in the churches that appeared to be something until the time of fruit came, the time of harvest, and they didn't bring forth fruit. And they revealed themselves. The wicked became revealed. "I am a brother of dragons and a companion to owls." We read in Revelation chapter 12, in verse 1, concerning this dragon, it's a great red dragon. Red identifies with judgment. It identifies with blood and judgment, and it has seven heads and ten horns. And these seven heads, of course, identify with the seven churches. The ten horns, ten identifies with the completeness, and horns identify with strength. And the strength that these horns identify with is the Word of God, and is the completeness of the Word of God in them, and seven crowns. But these particular crowns, they may appear to be crowns of gold, but they're really heading off a different kingdom, and there are only two kingdoms in view, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. So we read in Revelation chapter 12, verse 1, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads, and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head." And we know that this woman is the body of Christ. This is the bride of Christ, clothed with the light of the gospel, the sun, and the moon under her feet, identifying with the idea that she is standing on the law, and she has had victory over the law, because Christ has had victory over the law, and we are the body of Christ having victory over the law. "And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all the nation with a rod of iron." And we know it is Christ that rules the nation with a rod of iron. "And a child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days." And that identifies with the period of the church, the church age, this 1,260 days. "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angel," we know that Michael is Christ, "Michael and his angels fought against the dragon is Satan, and the dragon fought with his messengers, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world." And of course that happened at the cross. "He was cast out into the earth, and his messengers were cast out with him." And this is an interesting picture, the fact that he was cast out into the earth. And the earth is identifying with the church. And we know that Satan is buried, he's in the bottomless pit, and he is locked in that bottomless pit until the Lord looses him. And of course, we know we've come to that time where the Lord has loosened him. That's the fifth trumpet, where Satan was loosed. But here he was in the earth. And it says that he was cast out into the earth. Let's see. "And his angels and his messengers were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice from in heaven, saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." And you know, whenever we see this loud voice, I have been noticing that this identifies with the Holy Spirit. This loud voice, whenever we see this, I've been testing that out, and so far it seems to identify with the idea of the Holy Spirit bringing the message to the body of Christ, and the body of Christ echoing that message, salvation. And that's exactly what has happened when Christ was crucified and risen, and the message of salvation has gone out. There is a loud voice. And God is moving through the body of Christ. He pours out His Spirit and moves through the body of Christ, declaring His message. And we, we are made to willing to do of His good pleasure. And we bring the message that He gives us to bring. So I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil has come down unto you, and having great wrath, because he knoweth that his time, that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into a place where she is nourished for a times and a half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, and that kept the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So here we have this flood coming out of the mouth of the dragon. And that flood is the flood of false doctrines. And it is the unsaved in the church that swallows up that flood. And we've seen that. We've seen a study where we've looked at that, and it's quite evident throughout the Bible how this flood identifies with false doctrines. So here again, we have this picture of this great red dragon having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns. And it identifies, of course, with Satan. And he is cast out, and he is put into the earth. He is cast out into the earth. And we go then into Revelation chapter 13, and we read in verse 11, "And behold, another beast coming up out of the earth." And that's the dragon that was cast out into the earth. It is the beast coming up out of the earth when Satan is loosed. "And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." So here, this dragon is identifying with Satan and identifying with the beast. The fact that it had two horns, two identifies with the church, and horns identify with the power of God. It identifies with the word of God. He had two horns like a lamb. So he had the Bible. He has the word of God. And he brings the word of God and distorts it and makes it another gospel. He speaks as a dragon. And he exercised all the powers of the first beast. Now, I sort of skipped the first beast so we can look at the second beast first coming up out of the earth, because this second beast coming up out of the earth is the beast coming up out of the church. And we know that the image of the beast is the corporate body. "And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed." And that first beast came up out of the sea, out of the world. "And he doeth the great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven onto the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive the mark in their right hand or in their forehead. And no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And here is wisdom, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, or of mankind, and his number is 666. So it's 666, identifies with mankind. And that's the number of the beast. Now we'll go back into the earlier part of Revelation 13. We get the picture of the first beast coming up. Let's take a look at that. And we read, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horn ten crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy." And what is blasphemy? Blasphemy is the saying, "Thus saith the Lord, and the Lord has not said it." Claiming to be of Christ and bringing a message, and bringing another message, that is blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet was like the feet of the bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Now he comes up out of the sea, and who was in the sea? The dragon is in the sea. We read about that early here in Deuteronomy, I think it was, and we read about it in Isaiah, that dragon is in the sea. And here is the beast coming up, rising up out of the sea, out of the world. And I saw one of his heads that were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And of course that's Satan. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth with blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose name is not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into the captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. So we have these pictures of these two beasts, one coming up out of the sea, one coming up out of the earth. They both identify with the dragon, and we see we see that the dragon is in the sea, and we see that the dragon is in the earth, and these two beasts come up, and it speaks about the image of the beast and worshiping the image of that beast. And the image is that which comes out of the mind of man. Ultimately, mankind is the beast. It identifies with 666, and that identifies with mankind, and mankind is the beast. Because Satan works in the hearts of unsaved men, and that's where he dwells in all of his demons, and they make an image. It is from the mind of man, which ultimately comes from Satan, the Antichrist, the unholy spirit, if I may, that dwells in the hearts of unsaved men. They come from their minds and create another Jesus and another gospel, they create the corporate body and claim that it is not created, but they take over the corporate body and they say things like there is no salvation apart from us, or that they are the pillar and the ground of truth. They require that we bend our knee to the words of the books of their dead men, and we're to understand the word of God in light of their mind, of their understanding of God out of their own minds. We read in Psalms chapter 105 verse 26 that he sent Moses' servant and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They shone his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they rebelled not against his word. He turned their waters into blood and slew their fish. Interesting that God identifies the slewing of their fish, because this fish is really, I think, speaking of the firstborn. It is focusing in on men. He slew their fish, their firstborn. Their land brought forth frogs in abundance. And we're going to look at what comes out of the mouth of the dragon. And we're going to see how three unclean spirits, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the prophet. And here the Lord tells us in Psalms 105, their land brought forth frogs in abundance in the chambers of their kings. And when you go back and look at that in Exodus, you find that the frogs are everywhere. They're in the bed, they're in the ovens, they're in with the food, the cupboards, the bread, the grain, and they're stinking. They're dying all over the place, and they're stinking. And the food is being ruined. And the Bible tells us that in the house of Israel, in the house of the children of God, these frogs did not go into those houses, but only into the house of the people of Egypt, the unsaved. The land brought forth their frogs in abundance in the chambers of their kings. He spake, and there came various sorts of flies and lice in all their coasts. You know, and flies identify with dunghills. That's where you find the flies. You'll always find them in the most rotting places, where anything is decaying. And if you have a dunghill, it's going to be filled with flies. That's where the idea of the Lord of the Flies comes in, from the idea of Satan. Satan is Lord of the Flies. He is the king of the dunghill, the Bible tells us. So here comes these various sorts of flies and lice in all their coasts. He gave them hail for rain. That's frozen water. That's judgment. When hail falls down, it's judgment. And flaming fire in their land, and fire is judgment. He smote their vines also, and their fig trees, and brake the trees of their coasts. He spake, and the locust came, and caterpillars, and that without number. And the caterpillars, of course, destroy all the green things. And the locusts destroy all the green things. And the locusts identify with Satan being loosed at the ends of the world. And he did eat up all their herbs in their land, and devoured the fruit of their ground. He smote also all the firstborn in the land, the chief of all their strength. You see, there is the focus. He turned their water to blood and slew their fish, their firstborn in the land, the chief of all their strength. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribe. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them fell upon them. So as long as the body of Christ was in the churches, they were not glad that they were there. They were glad when they departed, for the fear of them fell upon them. They saw and heard the fear of God when the body of Christ was preaching. Now let's look to see these picture of these frogs, the idea of the frog coming out of the mouth. We read in Revelation chapter 16, verse 12, "And the sixth messenger poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up." And we know that the sixth messenger identifies with the sixth trumpet, which identifies with the removing of the candlestick, the body of Christ departing out. The river Euphrates identifies with the Word of God, the river of life. And the riverbed is a picture of the corporate church. And as long as the river Euphrates is coming through the riverbed, the river of life is flowing, salvation is available. When it's dried up, there is no living water, and salvation is no longer available. And here we read of the sixth angel pouring out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits, three identifying with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But these are three unclean spirits. They're bringing another Father, another Spirit, and another Jesus. And these are three unclean spirits like frogs. And they come out of the mouth of the dragon, and of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, another Jesus, another Father, another Spirit. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to battle of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walketh naked, and they see his shame. And he gathered them together in a place called the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. So here again, this idea with frogs, and frogs come out of the water also. It comes out of the bed, it comes out of the mouth. And what's in place of the river? We read of a flood that moves as a river. And that's the other gospel. That's the flood of false doctrines coming into place in the way where the gospel is expected to be preached. the mouth of the dragon. We read in Matthew chapter 12, verse 39, but he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days, 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And here God is identifying 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly as 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And the whale's belly identifies, the word belly here is the word womb. And this is the fish in the sea. And it identifies with being in a corporate body. And here Christ is a picture of being in hell. And that's what the whale's belly, of course, is identifying with. Because the belly is not only a picture of the womb, but it's where the heart is. It's where the children are. And the heart of the earth, we know, identifies with the church. The earth identifies with the church, and the heart again is where that which the focus, the direction comes from, the heart. And we read on, the men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Now I was looking at this. The men of Nineveh, I think, might identify with a picture of God's elect, because the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment. And the Bible speaks of the body of Christ judging the world. Know ye not, ye shall judge angels? And here, God speaks of the men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. And then he goes on to tell us, and the queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. And again, the queen of the south, I think, identifies again with the body of Christ. And it appears that this is a picture of the body of Christ, maybe of the corporate of the Old Testament, the one fold, which is actually there's not really two folds, but one fold. God speaks of this fold and speaks of that fold, and then says, really, there's only one fold. It is one body, and we see the picture of that one body in Revelation 12 that we read, where the woman clothed with the sun, and she's ready to give birth. And then she goes off into the wilderness when Christ comes forth, and that child is caught up into the heavens and sealed at the right hand of the Father, and so on. And God speaks of the body of Christ as one body. But here it's given an identity, I think, of the Old Testament part of the body of Christ, and identifying that body of Christ with the men of Nineveh, identifying that with the queen of the south. Because the only ones who will judge is God, and those who he changes in a twinkling of an eye and become like him, and they have the mind of God, and they're able to judge the righteous judgments of God. Okay, so the queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. Then he saith, I will return to my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty and swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself 7 other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell therein. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. And this is interesting that God goes straight from this picture speaking about judgment, speaking about Nineveh rising up in judgment, speaking about the Queen of the South rising up in judgment, and he goes right off into a parable concerning when an unclean spirit has gone out of a man, when a man tries to clean himself up to have his own salvation. And the unclean spirit is gone out, and he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. And he saith, I'll return unto my house. I'm going to return unto the person that cast me out. I'm going to go back unto that house. And he finds that it's swept and garnished. It's empty. He finds it empty. Christ is not there. So he goes, and he takes with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. They enter in. And when they dwell therein, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. That's a picture of a religious man. A man who has religion and doesn't have Christ. He has seven evil or wicked spirits in him. We read on. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered, and he said unto him that told him, Who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples, and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. And here is a picture again. We have this picture of how the mother and the brother of Christ is a picture of the body of Christ. Who is my mother and who is my brother? For whosoever shall do to the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. The same day when Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and a great multitude were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell by the stony grounds, and they had not much earth, and forthwith they withered up. They sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. Forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell on thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell on good grounds and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30-fold. Who hath an ear to hear? Let him hear. Now God has put all this together, I think, in Matthew chapter 12, one item after another. And likens and makes a connection between all these things. And it is a picture of those who are bringing another gospel versus those who are responding with the true gospel. And God is identifying with the gospel going forward with those and identifying those people as his mother, his brother, and his sisters. And we see, again, Nineveh identifying with the body of Christ. We see the Queen of the South identifying with the body of Christ. But we see those who were rejected. They reject Christ, and they prefer another Christ. Ultimately, we've seen from other places. And he gives us the picture here of this religious man, a man who cleans himself up and casts out this evil spirit. So all this identifies again with a picture of the gospel going forward, and those who are rejecting it. Now over here, you know, as we get a little further, I haven't had time to really work all this out, and I'm just going to see how we can go through it, and hopefully I'll be able to harmonize it all together. We read in Ezekiel chapter 32, verse 2, Son of man, take up a lamentation for Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and say unto him, Thou art like a young lion of the nations, and thou art as a whale in the seas, and thou comest forth with thy rivers, and troublest the water with thy feet. And that's a very interesting picture. Pharaoh is as a whale in the seas, and he comes forth with his river, with thy rivers, and troublest the waters with thy feet, and foulest up their rivers. Thus saith the Lord God, I will therefore spread out my net over thee with a company of many people, and they shall bring thee up in my net, and will I leave thee upon the land. I will cast thee forth upon the open fields, and will cause all the fowls of the heavens to remain upon thee, to remain upon thee, and I will fill the beasts of the whole earth with thee. And I will lay thy flesh upon the mountains, and fill the valley with thy height. I will also water with thy blood the land wherein thou swimmest, even to the mountains, and the rivers shall be full of thee. And when I shall put thee out, I will cover the heaven, and make the stars thereof dark. And to cover the heaven is to remove the body of Christ, to cover the coming of the God, the preaching of the gospel, the stars and the sun in the heavens and the moon and the clouds, bringing the rain. All the bright lights of heaven will I make dark over thee, and set darkness upon thy land. And that's a picture of silence in heaven, saith the Lord God. I will also vex the hearts of many people when I shall bring my destruction among the nations into the countries which thou hast not known. Yea, I will make many people amazed at thee, and their kings shall be horribly afraid for thee when I shall brandish my sword before them. And they shall tremble at every moment, every man for his own life in the day of thy fall. For thus saith the Lord God, the sword of the king of Babylon shall come upon thee. By the sword of the mighty will I cause thy multitude to fall, the terrible of nations, all of them, and they shall spoil the pomp of Egypt, and all the multitudes thereof shall be destroyed. I will destroy also all the beasts thereof from beside the great waters. Neither shall the foot of man trouble them any more, nor the hoofs of beasts trouble them. Then will I make their waters deep, and cause their rivers to run like oil, saith the Lord God, when I shall make the land of Egypt desolate, and the country shall be destitute of what whereof it was full, of that of whereof it was full. When I shall smite all them that dwell therein, then shall they know that I am the Lord. This is the lamentation wherewith they shall lament her. The daughters of the nations shall lament her. They shall lament for her, even for Egypt and for all her multitudes, saith the Lord God. So here it identifies Pharaoh is as a whale in the sea. And Pharaoh, we know, identifies with Satan. Whale identifies with the big fish, the beast, the leviathan, the dragon. And it is in the sea. It is in the world. It always identifies with the world. The fish always identify with the sea, and then the sea identifies with the world. And the picture of the sea, of course, is the world heading to hell. To sink to the depths of the sea is to sink into hell. Now, looking at fish, we also get another picture of fish. We get a picture of fish from the standpoint that Christ says he's going to make us fishers of men, and we have the gospel net going out. Gospel going out identifies with the net, which swoops up the fish out of the sea and brings it into the boat, and so on. We read in John chapter 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, I think it is, Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into the ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Now this word fishing, I go a fishing, I was looking at this word, and this word is the word hallelujah. It is a praise. I go a fishing. To go fishing is to bring the gospel. To bring the gospel is to bring praise unto the Lord. To be busy about the work of God. To be praising God as we bring the gospel. I go a fishing. Picture identifying again with bringing the gospel and praising God. And the other disciples said also, they went forth, they said, we go also with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Now this word fish is a different word fish. It's Strong's number 2486. I'm not sure how to pronounce this. Ichthus maybe. But in any event, we're going to find in this chapter of John 21, I think we're going to find that there are three different words being used here. This word, I go a fishing, is only used once in this area, in this chapter, and it identifies with the idea of praising God, bringing the gospel, hallelujah. But this second word, fish, appears to identify with the believers. Because God speaks of making us fishers of men. So he's able to draw it up in a multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fish's coat onto him, for he was naked, and he did cast himself into the sea. Now this word, fishers, is another word, Strong's number 1908, and it is a fisher's coat, and this identifies with the falsely accused. It identifies with slander, to be insult, to insult or to slander, and the coat is an outer garment. Okay, the word coat is the number 1903. And so here we have a fish's coat. It's a slanderous coat, which I think is what is in view. Now this coat, I think, identifies with the corporate church. The body of Christ was in the church, and God speaks of it as a garment in other places, just like he speaks of the body of Christ as being a garment, and the corporate body is a garment to the body of Christ. And here we have the fish's coat, and what does he do? He casts off this fish's coat, and he jumps into the sea. And when we come out of the church, we identify with going out into the sea. We get a picture in Revelation as we walk on the sea. We see the great multitude walking on the sea. And we've come out of the church, out of the earth. And we get other pictures of the sea being parted. But here is a picture of Peter jumping out of the boat, which is identifying with the church. And he has a fish's coat, which identifies with a covering, and he casts it off, and he's naked, and he jumps into the sea. And the other disciples came in little ships, for they were not far from land, for as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And we saw before in the past, I know Campin had looked at this, and saw that the 200 cubits appear to identify with the New Testament era. And the dragging of the net of the fishes identifies the 156 with probably all of the believers, the complete body of Christ that is to be saved out of the world. And as soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid upon the bread. Now here's the number 2486, the same fish, the multitude of fish that God was speaking of earlier, being drawn by this net. But now there is another fish that is on the fire of coals, and that fish is the number, is the Strong's number 3795. It's a different word, and that was laid thereon. And this is a piece of fish that appears that is salted, and we read it lays on the fire of coals. To lay on the fire of coals is identifying with being tried in the fire. The fish being salted, laid thereon, and bread. Christ is the bread of life. Jesus said unto them, bring the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of the great fishes, 153, and for all that there were so many, yet was they not broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and the fish likewise. So I think that's an interesting picture. I think this fish identifies with Christ, and the burning of this fish identifies with him going through hell for us. We see another kind of a picture of the same kind in Luke, where there is a broiled fish and honeycomb. And honey identifies with the gospel. And again, this fish that it has been broiled identifies with, I think, being tried in a fire. Christ became a man, so he's identified as being a fish also from the standpoint that he was born into this world, and he identifies with mankind. And we are fishes of men. Let me see if I can find particularly this verse. Give me a minute. Okay. We find this picture in Luke 24. Not sure where to start to read here. We'll just jump into 34. It's a few verses before. The focus is in on verse 42. We read, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon, and hath told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath no flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. It's the same word fish, the 2486. And of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law. And Moses, and law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day. So anyway, here is a picture of the fish and the honeycomb. And again, I think this is a picture of Christ. And we, of course, eat the body of Christ, and we drink his blood from the standpoint that we look into his life, his word. He is the word of God. It is the word of God that we feast upon. It is the Lamb of God that we feast upon. It is the bread of life that we feast upon. We read in Luke chapter 11, verse 11, if a son ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Now we know that the scorpion and the serpent are always found together throughout the Bible. It is very rare to see the scorpion brought up without the serpent. We might find a serpent brought up many more times than the scorpion, but usually whenever a scorpion is brought in view, you always read about the serpent. It identifies with Satan. And here is a picture of getting a fish. You know, if a son asks a father for a piece of bread or a fish, is he going to give him a serpent? Is he going to give him Satan? Or is he going to give him the fish that would identify with the bread of life? Is he going to give him the bread of life? Or is he going to give him a scorpion? Again, identifying with Satan. We see another picture of these fishes to be eaten along with loaves of bread. Five loaves of bread and two fishes. Five, of course, identifies with either judgment or grace. And in this case, this five must identify with grace. God is bringing the bread of life, the five loaves, and the two fishes. Luke chapter 9, verse 12. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the towns and the countries round about and lodge and get victuals. For we are here in a desert place. But he said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they said, We have no more but five loaves and two fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all the people. For they were about 5,000. And he said to his disciples, Make them to sit down by fifties. And this number five it keeps showing up through this whole thing. Again, five identifies with grace. 5,000 men, companies of fifties, five loaves. And they did so, and made them to sit down. And he took the five loaves and the two fish, and looked up into heaven. He blessed them, and brake them, and gave to his disciples to set before the multitudes. And they did eat, and were filled, and they were taken up of the fragments that remained to them 12 baskets. And 12 identifies with the fullness, particularly the fullness of the body of Christ. The baskets identify with that which holds the bread and the fish. And men eat the things that we bring to them, spiritually speaking, those who respond to the gospel. We're fishes of men, and we bring forth the bread of life and the two fishes. We are the two fishes. We are the body of Christ, and it is Christ within us that is identifying with that which people are eating, the Word of God. We are fishes of men. Mark chapter 1, verse 16. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you fishers. I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. We read of the cry from the fish gate. You know, the fish gate identifies with the door. The fish gate identifies with where the gospel is being preached. The fish gate identifies with the church, the corporate church particularly. But it comes through the body of Christ that the fish gate is found. I think it's Samson where we read where he runs, he takes the gates and removes the gates. Oh goodness, I don't remember that particularly. I think it was Samson that removed some gates, which identify with the picture of the door, which is Christ. But we read in Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 8, And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. In the same day will I punish all those that leap on the threshold, which fill their master's houses with violence and deceit. And God uses the word violence because he identifies with those bringing another gospel as murderers. This is of violence and deceit. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that there shall be a noise of a cry from the fish gate, and a howling from the second, and a great crashing from the hills. Howl, ye inhabitants of of Maktesh. For all the merchant people are cut down, all they that bear silver are cut off. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. Therefore their goods shall become a booty, and their houses a desolation. They shall also build houses, but not inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine whereof. The great day of the Lord is near, it is near, and hasteneth greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty men cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. And their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. You know, this idea of the dust, of course, is a place that has no water. The idea of the dung is a place where we find the king of the dunghill, who is Satan himself. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. Even though they still have some silver, even though they still have some gold, they still have the Bible, they still occasionally bring forth a verse and say, thus saith the Lord, but then bring their own message beyond that. Even though they still have that, it is not able to deliver them. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. Go back a couple of verses here in Zephaniah chapter 1. We read in verse 2, I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of heaven and the fishes of the sea, and the stumbling blocks with the wicked. And I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. So it's interesting how he identifies the consuming of man and beast with the consuming of the fowls of heaven and the fishes of the sea. We read in Jonah chapter 1 verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And we know that this great fish ultimately identifies with hell, it identifies with Satan, it identifies with the whale, it identifies with the dragon, it identifies with the beast in the sea. So he prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. We know that Jonah identifies as a picture of Christ. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, that thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compass me about. And these floods, of course, identify with the false gospels, the false doctrines. All thy billows and thy waves pass over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. I find that kind of interesting, that here Jonah is saying, I will look again toward thy holy temple. And the holy temple of the Lord is the body of Christ. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The deep, the depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. And we know it is the body of Christ that Christ has came into the world to die for. And here I will look again toward thy holy temple. I went down to the bottom of the mountains of the earth. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. The Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Now, we do know that Jonah identifies with Christ, but I think we might be able to see a picture here that Jonah also identifies with the body of Christ. And you know, the Bible, Christ speaks about us being flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. And we are that way because we are the wife, we are the woman. And God speaks about being joined together. And so I think we might be able to get a picture here. Christ even identifies this with coming up out of the earth, which again identifies with the end of the world, the body of Christ coming up out of the earth. There's a picture of coming out, departing out. So we might see two pictures here with Jonah if we look a little deeper. In Amos chapter 4, we read in verse 2, "And the Lord hath sworn by his holiness, that lo, the days will come upon you, that he will take you away with hooks, and your posterity with fish hooks." And that, of course, is a picture of judgment. He speaks of these fishes that stinketh because there is no water. In Isaiah chapter 50, and we know that water identifies with the gospel. And if a fish is out of water, it'll stink. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 1, "Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have ye sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away." He's speaking to the corporate church. He's speaking of Old Testament corporate church, and he's speaking to the New Testament corporate church. He says, "And for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I come, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all, that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh, because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering." Now, the heavens above identify usually with the body of Christ. And God speaks of a time when the heavens are departed as a scroll, as when it is rolled up. It's the closing of a book. A scroll rolled up is the closing of a book. He speaks of a time of a silence in heaven, about the space of a half an hour. And that, I believe, is identifying with the silence in the heavens above the church. The gospel, everything's been darkened. The light, the moon, the stars, and so on, all the lights are out. And God is speaking now here of making their rivers a wilderness, and their fish stinketh because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. And he speaks on how he clothes the heavens, their heavens, with blackness. It is darkness. And the blackness is coming up because of the darkness by reason of the smoke. That's the darkness that's coming up out of the bottomless pit, because God is loosening Satan onto them. We read about that in Revelation chapter 9. And I make sackcloth their covering. In Ecclesiastes, we read in chapter 9, verse 12, "For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them." And so God here is speaking of the fishes that are taken in an evil net, not the net of a good gospel. "And as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in the evil time. And this is the evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them." So I think we see how God identifies the fish with men, with man, with fishes of men. He also identifies the bad fish and how they stinketh, and he leaves them out of the water because they have no water, they have no gospel. And that identifies those who have come under the hearing, but they have no water. They identify with man out of the sea, but they're going to stink it because they have no water. We see how God identifies fish with the dragon, fish and the dragon of course, with Satan, and also with Pharaoh. We see how Christ is identified as a fish, the fish that we eat, and that is broiled. We see how the beast is identified with the fish. The whale is identified with the beast, and the whale is identified with the dragon, and the dragon is identified with the fish. And we see these two beasts, one coming up out of the earth and one coming up out of the sea. And God tells us in other places it's actually all one. They're all one and the same. They're all identifying with Satan. In the case of the beast and the whale, the great fish, the big fish, the dragon in the sea, and so on. All right, that's about it right now. If anybody has any questions or comments or any corrections that could be made, feel free to pick up the mic.